man.
You are so beautiful to me. Good morning, ladies. Mr. Ingram, how are you? Good. Did you get enough sleep last night?
Yep.
Okay, because you were looking kind of grumpy coming up here.
Nope.
All right. Hey, something really cool today. We have a missionary here. Do you guys know what a missionary is? Huh? Yep. Somebody that goes on a mission or goes to other countries to serve God and to tell other people about God. That's the gospel, right? They are missionaries or people who go about telling people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, today we have Jeremiah and April Markley from Papua New Guinea. Where is Jeremiah? Real quick. How many hours by air from the West Coast? 65? Okay, the whole trip to get there takes 65 hours to get where they go. And that's not going to the beach on vacation. We're talking like no, like limited running water and things like that, you know, all those kind of, no flush potties, really get out to the site. You got your Bible?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Dad, dad, dad.
Dad, 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 yeah. Who do you think in the Bible was the first missionary? No, not Jesus. Huh?
David.
Not David.
Yeah, David.
Maybe Abraham.
David.
That's David? Yeah, maybe Abraham. Because Abraham told God to leave his home and go to a whole new country. That's Jesus, yeah. A whole new country that he didn't even... I see him. Yeah. A whole new country that he didn't even know where it was or what it was going to look like or what it was going to be like. But God said, I'm going to make you a great nation and you are going to bless all the people. He said, I'm going to bless all the people in the world through you. But then thousands of years later, oh, yep. Awesome. He's praying. Sometimes you pray in silence. Yeah. Thousands of years after Abraham, of course, Jesus rose from the grave. And then you know what the last thing he told his disciples was before he left? What do you think the last words he told them before he left was?
He said,
"Eat up the trash." Yeah. That's right. He said, one second. He said, go and tell other people about me. Baptize them and teach them everything that you know about me. And so he was really the first missionary in the New Testament. He went out through all of the disciples. And some of those handful of people after Jesus died, today we have Christianity all around the country. Now, someday, maybe in your life, God will call you to be a missionary. Don't think that he's not necessarily going to send you to Papua New Guinea. Okay? Way far away. He may not even call you to be a youth pastor, but he may call you sometime in your life to go and share Jesus with other people. You don't have to go to Africa or Mexico or Slovenia or Mozambique. Those are all places where we have missionaries. You won't even have to go to South Dakota or Minnesota or Wisconsin or Illinois like our youth group did, because you know what? Can anybody read those little wooden signs above the door? Can you see it? The little wooden sign right above the door. Underneath the exit sign. Can you read that? So where's the mission field?
Here.
Here. So can you guys be missionaries?
Yes.
Yeah. You should be a missionary at your school. You should be a missionary in your neighborhood. You might even have to be a missionary in your own home. And so we are all called to be missionaries.
I cannot do it.
You cannot be a missionary?
No.
Okay. Just because you're too young, right? You can't read, so you can't be a missionary?
Eric can.
Oh, he can't read. Okay.
Yeah, can.
So be a missionary. So when we leave here today, when you leave church today, you are going out onto the mission field, just like Jeremiah and April and their family, just like the Swan does and the Zurgers and all the other missionaries that we support, you guys are going out into the mission field and have the best opportunity of all people to reach other kids your age for the gospel, right? Now, part of that can be as missionaries as what's going on behind me? VBS. Have you invited all your friends to VBS?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Invite some. Not yet? Do you know that it starts in about 24 hours?
Tomorrow?
Yes. So invite your friends to VBS if you haven't. Begin to be a missionary right here in Augusta.
Trash can.
Oh, my trash can. Oh, well, let's pray. Now, would you guys like to stay in here, Jeremiah, talk before you go to Kids Connect? Yep, sure. All right, so we'll let you go to Kids Connect after Jeremiah gets up and shares a little bit, all right? He can tell you a little bit about what they're doing in Papua New Guinea.
I can play.
Well, let's pray then, okay? Let's do this, and everybody will be quiet but me, okay? Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for just the enthusiasm of our young ones here, and we pray that you would bless them, help them to take that same enthusiasm out into the mission field, in their neighborhoods, in their schools, their friends, and again, Lord, even in their family if it takes that. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go back to your mom and dad's for a few minutes, and then after Jeremiah goes, we'll let you head back to Kids Connect. Again, just wanted to give Jeremiah and April a chance to share with us today. They're on their way to Michigan to get Jordan settled into Bible college, and so we're excited to see where Jordan's life will take off and go. But they wanted to make sure they got a chance to come by and share with us about what's going on and what they've been doing. I also want to let you know that any time that you come back from the mission field and it's not home assignment, it always costs a little bit more. And so at the end of our service today, as you're leaving, Ron Wolf will have somebody back there with an offering plate. We'd like to take up a free will offering for the Markleys today to help them with expenses as they travel around the United States. Again, this is out of the way. They wanted to make a trip just to be here with us today and to share what's going on. So with that, Jeremiah, as he makes his way up during Sunday school hour, there will also be some refreshments down in the CLC. And Jeremiah and April are going to answer any questions you have. And I think April was going to share a little bit, you said, maybe? All right? So that's available to you at Sunday school hour as well.
All right, thank you. Man, it is so good to be back with you guys. We weren't sure if it was going to be possible, but we were like, you know what, we got to make this happen. This is, you guys are super important to us. And you guys have been with us for many, many years, and we are so, so grateful and so thankful. Excuse me, so thankful for you guys, for the prayers that you guys have been, you've been praying for us while we've been over in New Guinea, supporting us faithfully, financially. Guys, that is huge. We could not be there if it wasn't for you guys, and we are an extension of your ministry here at First Baptist, there in Papua New Guinea, in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. So that's our family, for those of you who may not know, April and myself, Jeremiah, and then we have Jordan, Judah, and Elena, and Jordan has just graduated from high school, and that's why we're here, like Pastor Rick just said, to help him get settled into Bible school, and so yeah, this is a very quick whirlwind tour. We're here in the States for just a few weeks, and then we head right back to New Guinea to continue with our ministry there. So again, we just wanted to just express our gratitude and our thankfulness for you guys. We're so, so thankful for you. So thankful that you have been praying with us. We are working with an organization. You guys, you can go to the next slide. We're working with an organization that recently changed their name from New Tribes Mission to Ethnos 360. So you guys might see that. This new name floating around there, so I thought I might mention that just in case you see that and you wonder, well, what's going on here? Did they change missions? No. It's the same one. Still have the same desire, the same passion to reach tribal people with the gospel. There are many, many millions of people who have never had the chance to hear. And that's what we're there in Papua New Guinea to do, is to take the gospel to those people who are the least reached to take the gospel to those who, if somebody did not go to them and learn their language and culture and teach them, they simply would never hear. They can't turn on a radio, they can't turn on the TV and hear a message. It's not in their language. They can't hear it. So we work with Ethnos 360 now, same mission, different name. But yeah, the passion for reaching tribal people is still the same. And so I just wanted to read a quick verse here, or a couple of verses in Psalms 96. It says, Psalm 96:1 through 6 says, "O sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth." Not part of the earth, not some of it, all the earth. "Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." And why? Why tell of his glorious works among all the peoples? "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is worthy of the praise from all people, from all over the world, from the guys in Papua New Guinea who have never seen a vehicle before in their lives, from some of those guys had never seen a white person until we got there. Those guys, the Lord has not been getting praise from those guys. And there are still many people who have never had a chance to hear of what Christ has done for them. How are they going to praise God, who is worthy to be praised by them? So for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. They worship all kinds of crazy stuff over there. But God, our one true God, is worthy to be praised above all of them. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." It's interesting. Those guys in Papua New Guinea, they worship the sun, moon, and stars and all kinds of stuff, but our God is the one who made the sun, moon, and stars, and he is worthy to be praised by them. "Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary." He is worthy to be praised, and that's why we're there in Papua New Guinea. You can go to the next slide. We work in a very remote tribal location. It is only accessible by airplane. There's no roads in and out of there. The only way in is by this single-engine plane, and we have been there since 2003, working to bring the gospel to these people. We started teaching in 2008, and so that's where we live. You guys know Papua New Guinea is right above Australia, just for those of you who may not know. So you can kind of see the tip of Australia down in the bottom corner there. And then Papua New Guinea is right above that. And we work in this place called Denungit. Very remote. You can go to the next slide. Like I said, the only way in and out, that's our airstrip. Little airplane, little airstrip. Very small. We've been there since 2003. We presented the gospel in 2008. And we have been working on translation, translating the New Testament into their tribal language. We taught them how to read and write. So we have developed a literacy program. You can go on to the next one. Next slide. When we left here 2 years ago to head back to New Guinea, we told you guys that we were going to be heading back into the tribe, and we desperately needed your prayers because we were going to be putting Jordan and Judah, our two boys, into a dorm, and April and I and Elena were going to be going back into the tribe alone without our coworkers. So, and we did, and you know what? It was hard, but God was faithful. And God taught our kids some amazing things, helped them just to really grow and mature. And, you know, for April and I, it was very, very difficult, and Elena as well, being in the tribe alone. But you know what? God was faithful. And he saw us through, and we grew a lot as well. And, April was able to develop a post-literacy program. It's kind of like literacy phase two. Kind of taking the guys who knew how to read and write and going to the next level of just helping them to read better, to read more with comprehension, and just work on their accuracy and speed and things like that. So she developed that program and then taught it, and that went really well. You can go to the next slide. We also have been working with And then on to the next slide. We've been working with these two guys particularly. There are two elders in the tribe, in the church. And my main job is translation, working on the translation, but then also spending as much time as I can with these two guys particularly. Just working with them, helping them as they are leading the church, discipling them, working on just, you know, what does that mean? How should a church function? And how does that look in a tribal context? It's a little bit different than here. So, but the principles are still the same. So we've been working with these guys, Lucas and Felix. Those guys are just really dear brothers. And you guys, if you think of it, they would really appreciate your prayers. Felix and Lucas, those two guys. Okay, you can go on to the next slide. While we were there, we also did a Bible teachers training for anybody who wanted to come. We had about 15 people show up, and that was really exciting. And so these guys were there to basically get some more tools in training people and teaching people, taking people through God's Word. And one really cool thing that happened out of this, there was a guy, you can go to the next slide, there was a guy he was an older guy, and he came and he said, you know, I don't feel like I'm a teacher. I don't really think I can teach, but could I just sit in on those classes and just, you know, sit in the back? And we're like, absolutely, of course you can come. So he sat in the back and listened to this week-long seminar, you could call it, and at the end he said, you know what, I've got such a heart for the older people there in Dananget. They don't really understand. When the teachers teach, they go a little too fast, and those guys can't hear it all very well. So he's like, I have a heart to take this message of truth to the older people. Do you think I could do that? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So I worked with him specifically, and sat down with him. We walked through what it would look like, and this guy Bao sat down with about three or four of the older people in the tribe and just went through chronologically from the very beginning, Genesis 1:1, all the way through to the cross. And it was so encouraging. It took months to get through, but he wanted to make sure that they really understood all these different things. Who is God? Who is he? And what kind of a relationship did man have with God, Adam and God in the beginning, and then how sin destroyed that. And then, but this plan of salvation, of the promised deliverer that is promised in Genesis 3:15, how this promised deliverer would come and restore that relationship. And he walked through that whole process. It took months to get there. Went through the Old Testament and then into the New Testament, teaching about this promised one who was going to come and save them from their sins. And it was just so encouraging, so neat to see God working with those guys too. God is definitely working there. You can go to the next slide. My main responsibility right now, as I said before, is translation. So I spend a lot of time in front of a computer screen doing a lot of just hashing through scripture, every single word, and figuring out how in the world am I going to put this into a tribal language. And it's a job. It's a job and a half, but it's exciting. It's happening. We're making progress, but oh my goodness, I would sure appreciate your prayers. That is a huge responsibility, and I do not take it lightly. This is God's word we're talking about. So, yes, please be praying for me, especially as I'm working on that every day. You can go on to the next slide, too. One of the other jobs that I've been doing, primarily these last few years, has been in the area of consulting. And the Lord has really opened up some doors to go and help new missionaries who are learning their language and culture. So I've been able to go on a lot of trips to the end of these new places and sit down with the new missionaries and walk through how do you learn a tribal language that's never been learned before. There's nothing's written down. There is no alphabet. It's never been studied before. So there's a process in doing that. So I get to go into these places about every 6 months and check up on them and see how they're doing, encourage them That's a difficult job to learn one of those tribal languages. So just that's been a really fun and encouraging thing that the Lord has allowed me to be a part of. So I appreciate your prayers for that as well. You can go on to the next one. So what does it look like, our future? As we said, Jordan has graduated from high school, and we're excited about that. But that means that he's coming to the States. Not so excited about that. Every single time we've gone back to New Guinea, and we've been doing this for quite a while now, it seems like every single time it gets harder, and this time is no exception. This time, we're going to be saying goodbye to Jordan and leaving him in Michigan, and at the end of the summer, the rest of us are heading back to Papua New Guinea to continue our ministry over there. So yes, we would really appreciate your prayers as we say goodbye to him, as we leave him in good hands. There's going to be some people looking after him, but man, we would sure appreciate your prayers as we head back. Appreciate your prayers for Jordan. He's going to be going to Bible school. As of right now, he said he wants to go on to flight training after that. He actually wants to fly into those places where we live. He wants to be a missionary pilot. So he's got quite a bit of schooling ahead of him to get that training. So yeah, I'm sure he would definitely appreciate your prayers as well for him and then for us as we head back to New Guinea. So yes, so we'll be heading back to Papua New Guinea. We are living out at the center, our support center right now, and I'm translating full-time from there, but then I'm making trips into Da Nang quite a bit. So we're out there to help our kids in school, and because there's a school right there on our support center, and then I'm able to do more consulting as well as the translation work right there. So yeah, we would appreciate your prayers as we head back very soon. And also, if you guys have any more questions, we'll be talking a little bit during Sunday school hour. So thank you all so, so much. Appreciate you guys very much.
How many different dialects? Dialects. 850 languages in PNG. 850. And so you can imagine the difficulty that there is going from tribe to tribe and trying to figure out their language. I know working with Mayan Indians in Mexico, it was just about 5 or 6 years ago that they finally got a Bible in their language, in Tzotzil. So then they had to be able to afford them. So it was taking a while to get them there. Today's title in Hebrews, if you'd like to turn to chapter 8, is this idea again continuing that Jesus is the better way. And in our last session, we were offered up a new and improved covenant, a new and improved promise. And so sometimes those things, new and improved, many of you might say those words are oxymoron, because if something is new, how could it be improved? But this is a word that we hear many of the marketers that we have use those kind of words. When we think of oxymorons, we think of things like jumbo shrimp, central intelligence. What other ones can we think of? Awfully good, okay? Pretty ugly. We use some of those. Civil war. Those are all things that, words that go together that seem to contradict themselves. But it is, again, new and improved, seems to be a very good marketing strategy that we have. The problem is that our government has very few regulations about what that means. New and improved can simply be just a small functional change in a product or even in the packaging that's used to describe something. I mean, we see this first example here of a product called Shreddies. Now, Diamond Shreddies are new and improved. You can see on your right is the new and improved one compared to the one that was the old one. They're diamonds now instead of squares. And this is legal to be able to market it. It's so exciting, it says, to have new Shreddies in a diamond shape. So this is the problem we have with new and improved. because a lot of things don't really count as an improvement except for the manufacturer's bank accounts. Sometimes new and improved can really backfire on a company as well, even whether it's just product manufacturing or product change. How many of you remember Tropicana orange juice? Their logo used to be an orange with a straw in it. In 2009, they changed their carton to just have this glass of orange juice on it, and people rebelled. Their sales dropped 20% because people, even though it's the same product, they just loved the orange with a straw in it. And so Pepsi made a huge mistake trying to do a new improved packaging. But Pepsi is really good at those kind of things. Pepsi is good at making problems. How many of you remember the potato chips, the Wow potato chips? Anybody remember the Wow potato chips, like 1998, somewhere in there? It was going to be this new, healthier potato chip, less fattening, and it became the best-selling chip on the market until people started having diarrhea and cramping. And they had to put a warning label on it. It said, Alestra, the product that they use, may cause cramping and diarrhea. So Pepsi had a couple of bonehead ones that they did. Probably the biggest one in all of marketing was, anybody remember New Coke? When New Coke, soft drink sales were flat, and so Coca-Cola was the leading manufacturer of soft drinks, thought they needed to shake up the market a little bit, and after 70 days on the market, they pulled New Coke and brought back a new and improved Classic Coke. They just changed the name. But that was such a big deal that Peter Jennings on the news broke in during General Hospital and announced that New Coke was off the market and Coca-Cola Classic was back. But again, last week in our lesson in Hebrews, the author of the letter said that no, we have a new and improved covenant. We have a new way of salvation. We have a new and improved means of achieving salvation. The Levitical priests were not able to bring about perfection in the people because they themselves were not perfect. Their rites and their rituals weren't bringing people to perfection as well. And even today, we still hold on to a lot of rites and rituals in churches that have no bearing on salvation. And he said, no, that wasn't good enough. The law of Moses couldn't save people. It pointed out their sin, but it did not save them. The priests had to continually bring sin offerings for themselves before they could do sin offerings for the people. And so this system was messed up, and there had to be a better way of achieving salvation. And the author says there is. In Psalm 110, we shared last week that there was this new oath by the Lord. The Lord God said that there is a better way. Earthly priests come and go. They come and they die, and then they passed on their priesthood to the next generation. But Hebrews chapter 7 last week said that this oath from God, and the author quoted Psalm 110, says that this oath came after the law, and it appointed Jesus Christ as high priest forever. He would not die and pass it on. He would be the same high priest forever and ever. But he is also the guarantee of a new covenant. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. So he reminds us we have a better way. We have a better covenant. We have a new and improved covenant, a promise by God to his people, a promise that we can have confidence in, unlike some of these other marketing things that we saw. This new and improved covenant comes from the Lord. And so this new covenant gives us some new hope. And I want to use that word new today. You can see it's in capital letters to lead us through a look at the rest of this passage this morning and follow along. The first N stands for the new covenant provides motivation and power. Sometimes I sit and think, Sherry thinks I should have been born like in the 1850s and 1860s when westward expansion came along. There's a little bit of romantic to that, but it would have been a difficult life. But when I think of Old Testament life and I think about, wow, could you imagine every year having to go and sacrifice your best bull or your best ram to cover up your sins, knowing that as long as you lived, it would never end. There would be continual sacrifices. There would be continual blood. There would always be a ritualistic covering of our sin. But our new and improved covenant, our better way, tells us that there has been a once and for all sacrifice for all sins. It's been made on our behalf. We no longer have to go through all those rites and rituals and sacrificing of endless animals for our sins. And the good thing is today that we can trust that through God's Holy Spirit, which was part of His promise in this new covenant, that we can overcome those inadequacies and our failures and our weaknesses without having to sacrifice any animals. We can do this not even in our own doing. We don't have to do it in our own power. I mean, that would be demoralizing, wouldn't it? How many of you have ever gone on a diet and you go on a diet for 3 or 4 weeks and then you just... And so what do? You wait a little while, then you start on another diet, and you try it again, and we keep failing. Or maybe an exercise program. You start on an exercise program, you go good for a couple weeks, and then it gets demoralizing. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, in our new covenant, says we don't have to do that. We don't have to do it alone. God is working in us. And if God is working in us and nothing is impossible with God, then He can change even the hardest hearts and the darkest people have been transformed into something new. Listen to Philippians chapter 2. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, Paul says. And now I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Now, as you read that, you listen to me say that, you might think that salvation, again, now is equated with works. Work hard. Well, let me tell you that work there is probably best translated as keep on. Keep on showing the results of your salvation. So how do we keep on showing the results of our salvation? Well, too many of us think of salvation as a one-time event. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Now I can sit in my pew and I can wait for Jesus to come get me. That's it. That's what we see salvation as. But this is a little bit different. The author says, no, that's not good enough. Just confessing Jesus and sitting back and waiting is not good enough. You weren't saved to sit, he says. Keep working to show your salvation. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Man, we are doing really good when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, until it comes to us doing that will. Yeah, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Just don't make that will be PNG, Papua New Guinea. All right, I don't want to go there for 15 years. Don't make that work be youth pastor. Lord will eventually get his way. God is working in you to give you the desire and the power to please Him. And you will eventually get there one way or another. I can tell you from experience that it will happen. He's going to continue to work in you until His will is fulfilled. It's the promise we have in the new improved covenant. The other thing I want to touch on in that passage is the results of your salvation. Keep working to show the results of your salvation. Well, what should that salvation look like if it's more than just a one-time event? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. These are the things that should manifest themselves as we keep on living in our salvation. These are the things that people ought to see in us each and every day, creating a desire to go, I want what you have. I would challenge you that at best, some of you may be dill pickle Christians or Eeyore Christians, that you're not keeping on in your salvation. People don't see enough joy in your life. They don't see enough gentleness and kindness and humbleness that makes them want to follow this Jesus. Can I do it? Yesterday, we went over to El Dorado to take Sherry's stepdad out for supper, and we're driving after supper to Walmart. They needed a few things, and they're both in very bad health, and so we were going to go with them. But this lady pulled out in front of, Sherry was driving their car, and all of a sudden my mother-in-law is like, and I was like, oh my gosh, Mom, you got a church license plate. Got the name of your church on the front of it. What if that lady thinks you were doing something, telling her you're number one? That's what Pops asked her. He said, did you flip her off? It's like, oh. Now, I don't know if that lady knew who they were, but I can imagine if they ever saw that car again with a, I won't tell you the name of the church on the front, but man, I was like, Mom, calm, you chill. But that's sometimes what people see in us as Christians, and then they get turned off. Now, we may be good in one area of all the fruits of the Spirit, so maybe really good in two, but even if it's just two, people ought to be able to tell that we're keeping on in our salvation. They ought to see that there's something in a new and improved way in us as well, that God has changed us. He's working in us and giving us a desire. That after listening to you speak or seeing how you respond in bad situations or things that aren't favorable to you, how do you respond? That your humbleness, your gentleness, there should be no doubt that you're a genuine, real Christian. That the same person you are here this morning is the same person you are each and every day outside of this church. This new, improved covenant that we have is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to change you, to transform you. You don't have to do it on your own. Jesus will do it for you if you will let him. It's not about being good. It's not about keeping the commandments. It's about a relationship that you have with him, participating with him wherever he is working. That means that we probably don't just sit here in our salvation, but that we pray and we witness and we serve to others so that we can figure out where God is taking us and where he is leading us. Not because that means we get saved, not that we can earn any favor, but because we love God and we love other people, no matter where they are, no matter who they are, that we love them. And we do these things so that people will know that we value our relationship with the Lord. The E in new stands for embrace. Embrace God as your heavenly Father and fellowship with him. There are probably some of you here this morning that think your happiness depends on how God sees you. I want to tell you that this new and improved covenant gives you some assurance. See, many of us have a wrong idea of what God thinks about us. Some of that is because of the way that we've been taught. Some of that is of the way that people have told us that we're not good enough, that we'll never be good enough, or that what we did was so bad that God will never forgive us. You hear that from church people all the time, that we're too judgmental. And so we think that maybe we're disappointing God because we're not what he wants us to be. Or maybe even that's maybe a tough time, a trial in your life you're going through is because God is angry at us and that's why he is punishing us. Maybe it's because there's a habitual sin in your life, a besetting sin that we'll talk about in a few chapters. And so you think that God is angry with you. But if we go to the source, if we go to God and find out what God thinks about us, it becomes something entirely different. Scripture says that if you trust in Jesus, you are a beloved child of God. Even if you're not, God loves you, but he gives you a choice. God tells you how he sees you in his personal letter to each and every one of you called the Bible. And these pages tell us that we have an amazing relationship with God. That he loves us beyond anything that we can imagine. It is amazing. You are not a stranger to God. He knows everything about you. You are not an orphan. You are anything short of being alone in this life. 2 Corinthians says, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. 1 John chapter 3, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. See, there's nothing so bad that you can't do that God won't love you, right? You may break his heart a little bit, but he's not going to quit loving you, no matter how old you are, no matter what you've done in the past. It's comforting to know that we have a Savior who loves us, and we are a child of God. I was visiting with a young woman this week. Her life is kind of jacked up, and she was getting ready to fly to Florida. She's never been on an airplane before, and she's scared to death. Young girl, and she came into the office this week, and she said, "Pastor Rick, I got to know, is it safe to fly?" She's flying on Allegiant. It's not a very well-known airline to her. She's never flown. She goes, "Are the pilots trained?" I said, "Yes, the pilots have been trained, just like an American Airlines or a United Airlines." And she goes, "Are the planes safe?" And I said, "Yes, you have a greater risk of dying in an accident driving to Florida than you do flying. If I would die, will I have to stand before God and he's going to go, 'You remember when you did this? You remember when you did that? You remember when you did this?'" You all have somebody in your family that's like that, that never points out just the good stuff. They always want to go back to the bad stuff. And she's afraid that she's going to have to stand before God, and he's going to say, "Well, you did this, and you did that, and you did this." And she says, "I love Jesus. I know that he died on the cross for me, and I still have some things I'm working on, but I don't want to have to stand there and answer for all my past mistakes." And I had to assure her that the Bible says God does not only just forgive our sins when we repent and trust in Jesus for salvation, but he forgets them. "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more," it says in Jeremiah 31. "And yet I am the God who forgives your sins, and I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you." So I had to reassure her that you have a heavenly Father who loves you no matter what you've done. And he's working in you too, just like he's working in all of us, to bring us to a point of perfection that we will not achieve until someday we are in heaven. Very quickly, the W stands for with confidence and assurance we can move forward. Right? With confidence and assurance. We should have no doubts about our salvation. Oftentimes when we have to earn something or we have to deserve something, there is always some doubt. Scripture says that we don't have to worry about that. Ephesians chapter 2. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This tells me that there's no way I could ever earn eternity in heaven. I could never be good enough. I blew that probably by the time I was 9 months old. Somebody could always pray better than me. Somebody could always give more than me. Somebody can preach better than me. Somebody can minister to people better than me. And thank goodness people can sing better than me. It can never be good enough if I compare myself to somebody else, or if I have to work on my merit compared to somebody else's merit. But yet in all that, it is my goal that people would still see Jesus in me. And I hope that that's your goal as well. Salvation is only possible because of this extravagant forgiveness and grace offered through Jesus. It is the message that the Markleys and all of our other missionaries take around the world. I have a friend that's going to work for One Mission Society. One Mission Society in 2016 came up with the audacious goal of sharing the gospel with 1 billion people by 2026. That's a lot of work that our missionaries have to do. So quit trying to earn your salvation. And quit trying to make other people earn their salvation by telling them all the things that they're doing wrong, giving them a checklist of all the things that they have to do in order to be a good Christian according to your standards. Extend this extravagant grace and forgiveness to others. God's standard is to believe in Jesus. God's standard is to love God and love other people. And if you do those things, if you love God, love others, and trust in Jesus, eternal life in heaven is yours. You are worthy because God said you are. You are worthy because God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. Now, even if you do all those things, are you still going to mess up? Yeah, we're still going to mess up and do things wrong. Yeah, we're not going to achieve perfection until we're standing face to face with Jesus someday. Then we will be made perfect. Until then, we're going to have some inadequacies. We're going to have some failings. But if we believe in Jesus and his work on the cross, love God and love others, you never have to worry about your salvation. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ alone, please don't doubt your salvation. Don't live in fear of that kind of judgment. Live a life of fruitfulness, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, all of those things that we have. Stop doubting and start trusting, because you are a people of the new and improved covenant. You don't have to do a checklist of things anymore to make sure that you're going to be saved. And again, the extravagant forgiveness of God is what makes this all possible. One last verse from Hebrews for you today. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people and said, "This day is coming, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah." You are the people of the new covenant. The old way had some shortcomings. He didn't say it was bad. He just said it had some shortcomings. This new covenant is because of a sacrifice made once and for all. Never again do we have to sacrifice for our sins. The recipients of this letter, again, are getting ready to turn away from this extravagant forgiveness and this extravagant grace because times are tough. And our author is reminding them, don't do that. Don't go back to the old way. Bear with us and you'll see that this new way is better. Thank heavens for people like the Markleys. Thank heavens for people like Ariel Tatum in Africa, the Zurgers in the Middle East, Swandas, all of our international missions, and plus all of those here, the local missions and domestic missions that we have. They're all trying to share this extravagant grace and forgiveness of this new covenant with people. And just as I told the children, when you walk out of here today, you too are entering the mission field. You too have the duty. God has asked us, Jesus commanded us to go make disciples, to share this extravagant love and grace with other people, that the forgiveness of their sins has already been taken care of if they'll just accept it, that we have a better way than the old way. A checklist of laws and things, the do's and don'ts that we have. Begin to see your community, even your home, your jobs, your recreation, whatever it might be, begin to see that as your mission field. Begin to let people know that there is a better way to eternity. And Jesus is the better way. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this day and age, we do not have to live by a checklist of do's and don'ts, that we have to continually make animal sacrifices to cover our sins. We thank you that you loved us enough. We are your children, that Jesus became our once and for all sacrifice, that he paid the price for all of our sins once and forever. It's a kind of love that is often hard for us to understand and we feel unworthy, but we pray that you would help us to trust in your promises. And when Jesus died on the cross and we acknowledged him as Lord and Savior, that our sins were forgiven, and that we have the promise of eternity with you in heaven. I pray, Father, if there's anybody here this morning, if you're here this morning, listen to my words, friends. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we're done praying here, turn to your neighbor and ask, how can I have this assurance? How can I know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Or make your way down here to the front as we sing, or come meet me in the library, and we'll share this assurance with you that comes from our Heavenly Father. For he is great and greatly to be praised. We thank you again, Lord, for loving us. We pray that you would bless us, watch over us, and keep us in all that we say and do, that people would know without the shadow of a doubt that we are your children. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, if you would, stand.